Amen. Only the blood of Jesus has made us one. Amen. From every nation. Amen. Praise the Lord. This morning, you did not come here by coincidence. There's a reason why God brought you here. I pray that you will receive the reason for why you're here today. Because the Lord is giving me permission to say something I will not necessarily say in an open place like this. Things like this are very shared in private and with people that you believe can receive it. It's this volume. But I believe by the grace of God, the Lord will give you the grace and the spirit of understanding. Amen?
Amen.
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 Father, I thank you. Thank you. You are in this place. Our eyes are on you. Thank you that before we were formed in our mother's womb, you knew everyone in this place. You who have carried every soul, every heart, you've sustained us to this point. You have made destiny ready for us. So today we pray that you give us understanding of the times and what you're calling us to do. Receive all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's open our Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes. And our media team can help me as we read some scriptures today. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Read from verse 1. Hallelujah.
Amen.
To everything. Say everything.
Everything.
There is a season and a time to every purpose under the heavens. Amen?
Amen?
There is a season, there is a time to every purpose under heaven God has established. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. And it goes on and on. Amen?
Amen.
God has ordained seasons for everything, not some things. Now let's open our Bibles to 1 Chronicles 1:32. It's important you follow the scriptures because of what you're about to hear. 1 Chronicles 1:12:32 says, "And of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the time." Men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do. The heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were their commandment. Amen. Now let's open to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah chapter 66. Amen. I'll read from verse 7 to verse, sorry, from verse 7 to verse 9. And this morning, I don't do titles as such, but to give us understanding, if you can adjust the sound a little bit. If we can get a better understanding of what I'm about to share with you, what the Lord has put in my heart, we call it understanding the times. Amen?
Amen.
Isaiah 66, 7 to 9. Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man child, as she gave birth to a man child. Verse 8. Who had heard such a thing? Who had seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Verse 9. Shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth, says the Lord? Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb, saith thy God. Amen?
Amen.
Now let's open to the New Testament, Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Let's read from verse 3. And as Jesus sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him, to him privately, saying, that's the disciples, tell us, when shall these things be? You know what? Let's just read from verse 1. Matthew 24, verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see you not these things? Truly I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Mm-hmm. After he shared with them some signs, some things. And so verse 3, and as he sat upon Mount Olives, the disciples came unto him and to him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? This was a question. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed, number one, that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nations shall rise against nations, and kingdoms against kingdoms. And there shall be famines, and there shall be pestilence, and there shall be earthquakes, and in diverse places. The verse I want you to see based on the context of what the Lord wants us to hear is verse 8. All these are the beginnings of sorrows. That word sorrows there means birth pains, labor pains. Amen. Hallelujah. One of the best ways that through the years the Lord has taught me to understand spiritual things is to use the natural things to explain these things to me. So let's look at something that is so natural that we all came out of. And that's the position, the life of a pregnant woman. Amen?
Amen.
You cannot be pregnant unless a seed has been sown. Amen?
Amen?
And then when that seed is sown, that seed carries a destiny. It's somebody that God has a plan and a purpose in for that person to fulfill. God said to Jeremiah, I knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. And then while you were in your mother's womb, I had a purpose for you to fulfill. I set you apart to fulfill an assignment. And that of Jeremiah was to be a prophet. Amen? So, when God sows that seed has a message, has a purpose to fulfill. But that seed doesn't just come out because it's a child, isn't it? It goes through a formation process, a metamorphosis. Amen? It's a gradual maturing of that child in the womb. But the child has to stay in the womb until the child is matured to be transitioned to this physical world and be able to be what God requires for that person to serve. So the child stays in the womb, and in the plan of God, Again, I will show you this very soon. God already, by nature, has already established 9 months, 40 weeks boundary for that child to stay in the womb. Amen?
Amen.
It's set. It's a set time. Amen?
Amen?
There could be variables, depends on situations, but that's a generic set time. Amen? So now this time is set, and the woman is pregnant, and you've been looking for a child. Guess what? You're excited, isn't it? But then you're excited, but you're still carrying a load. Amen? You feel you're excited, but your excitement overwhelms you eating for two people all the time and drinking for two people and carrying your baby. And after a while, you begin to see some signs. They asked him, what are the signs? You begin to see some signs. This woman is pregnant. And then all of a sudden, you don't just see the sign. The signs is very obvious. And at this time, the woman begins to experience more uncomfortable situations. But she's excited. And the more the signs, the more exciting and expectations growing. Amen? Now, understand the physical so you can understand where we're going spiritually. So the woman gets to that point. Now, when the woman is at this stage, do you think she has to wait before she prepares, she buys all the necessary things and all the those beautiful places, you know, the where the baby will stay and start putting this together? Do you think she waits for that? No. She's already shopping the color she wants for the child, the this, the that, all the necessary things that the baby needs, where the baby has to be. She's preparing. Everybody say preparing. Preparation. So she's preparing and she's taking good care of herself. She gets advice from doctors to eat well. Amen? Amen. And the baby prepares, the mother prepares. But you have not seen the baby with your eyes. But you know you're carrying a baby. Expectation. Then something starts happening, which happened to just recently to Yolanda's daughter, Lami. You start feeling this, what we call labor pains, contractions, little by little. For a first-time mother or even a second time, sometimes you would think the baby is about to come. Amen? I had a friend of mine that went to the hospital 4 times, and the doctor told him and the wife, don't come back here until we call you. It's not due yet. Because of how she was feeling, it's like it's about to happen. So a woman goes through that process. But then it gets to the place where we just read. It says, have you seen a woman that will give birth at this point without labor pains? Have you seen a woman that will just give birth without labor pains? It says, no, it's not possible. It says, but as soon as the woman gets to this birthing place, she must enter the labor room. Amen? She must enter the labor room, that labor position, that labor place. Why? Because you've now come to the moment you're waiting for, the hour of transition, where you now have to be a part of pushing out that which is unseen but known into that which can be seen and manifested. And that's how we all were born. The woman pushes with the help of midwives and doctors, and we're born. Amen? God used this principle all through the Bible to explain spiritual things. So in this book here, Isaiah we read, he was talking about the nation of Israel, the destiny of Israel, and the seasons and their timelines. And what Israel will go through in the last days before they see Jesus again and they are established in glory. Now, let's look at another physical, using this principle, we're going to look at a physical but also spiritual explanation. Amen?
Amen.
I like to use illustrations because this is very important about what I'm about to share with you. Bomati is here. Bomati, come. Bumati, come. Amen. Bumati, you can stand here really quick. You won't waste time. So Bumati is a woman. She's a mother, isn't it? Okay. So somebody's hiding. So I'm just going to use Josiah, come this time since you're hiding. Good, Josiah. Amen. Amen. Now, Josiah, Bumati is pregnant, isn't it? With Josiah. Okay? So, that's the illustration we just gave. Then, Bumati, what I just described is, Bumati gives birth as a mother to Josiah. Amen? But he was once in the womb, carrying the womb. So, here, Josiah has a destiny. And God knows about Josiah's destiny and what God wants Josiah to fulfill. Amen? But before Josiah is born, Josiah has to be born from a woman, meaning the ability to carry a child, the womb to carry a child. So the same thing with spiritual things. So here is the first spiritual example. Most times you hear Israel referred to as Har, you know, referred to in a feminine way, the mother of Sarah's, the mother of the world, the mother of Israel, our mother. So Israel as a nation is a nation that God has a covenant with. Amen? Amen? And at one point, now, Israel has not been born to become a nation. But Abraham was carrying that covenant that will bring the seed that will bring forth the nation of Israel. Amen? So, I want to change the picture now. Now, Bumati is a nation. Amen? And this time, Bumati is the nation of Egypt. Amen? Egypt. And this is the promise, Israel. Israel as a nation. So, God told Abraham, he says, there will come a time where this, your seed, will be in a particular nation. And they will be there for about 400 years. And after 400 years, I will bring them out. Now, to fulfill my purpose, I'll bring them out and I'll put them in the promised land that I promised you when I made that covenant with Abraham. So, now this is Israel. Now in Egypt, the days of Joseph. But after the days of Joseph, another Pharaoh rose up that did not know who Joseph was. And that Pharaoh now started oppressing the children of Israel. So they were in the womb of Egypt for 400 years. Amen? Are you getting the picture? Okay, they were in Egypt for 400 years. And on... God called Moses later and said, okay, the time has come. Well, fast forward really quick. The time has come for Israel to come out. Amen? So when it was time for Israel to come out of Egypt so that they can serve the purpose God has for them, they can't come out on their own. A child cannot come out of his mother's womb on his own. Amen? Amen. Remember, the child has to be pushed out. So as a nation, holding the destiny of Israel captive, when the time came, the mature time came for Israel to enter into their destiny, God had to cause Egypt to go through birth pains. Just like a physical woman goes through that very painful moment, Egypt went through 10 severe plagues. Nine severe plagues. The 10th one was one Pharaoh finally came and said, you can come out now. You can go now. So Pharaoh just vomited Israel out of Egypt. Amen? Amen? And that season is what we call the Passover season in the Old Testament. It was the first month of the Hebraic spiritual calendar, the first month. Amen? So Israel was forced out of Egypt. But they did not come out on their own. They had to go through birth pains. And some of those birth pains were not, they were things that had to humble Egypt, humble Pharaoh, until Pharaoh came to the point he says, I must let the people go. But God already planned that. Amen? So remember that word, but pains. Egypt had to go through pain for them to release. So another example, we shift again. After Israel became a nation, God gave them promise. God blessed them. God made them the head and not the tail. All these great kings came out of it. David, all these great. Israel was the top of the world. Every nation feared Israel. Israel was the apple of God's eyes. God blessed them. But God warned them. He says, if you turn away from me and you now serve other gods, you now compromise your consecration, you start living for other gods and you turn away from me, I will let you be taken captive. I will chasten you. And then, at the right time when you repent, I will bring you back again. So, having that background, Israel really backslid and they left the Lord. So, what happened? I would now turn to Bomati. First of all, Bomati was a physical woman. Now, it represents a metaphor, a nation, Egypt. Now, is now representing Babylon. So, Israel was taken captive to Babylon. Amen? Remember the womb. So Israel was now in Babylon. And Babylon had Israel captive. Amen? So it was like a woman that was pregnant with a child. And God said in the book of Jeremiah, and Daniel quoted it, Jeremiah 25, that they will only be in Babylon for 25 years, 70 years. After 70 years, God will bring them out. So God knew everything ahead of time. He knows the end from the beginning. He spoke about the destiny of Israel in Babylon. And when they have suffered enough time, God will bring them out. Amen? So exactly during the days in Babylon, God again had to cause Babylon to go through birth pains. What was the birth pains like? The birth pains I read to you here from the book of Matthew 24. Birth pains comes in form of famines, in form of wars for nations, in form of earthquakes, pestilence, all kinds of things. These are natural disasters. That's why in 2 Chronicles 7:14, God told Israel, he said, when I shut the heavens, when I send locusts, you know, I send a nation to take you, if my people that are called, will humble themselves and pray and seek and turn from their wicked ways, then again I will hear, then again I will heal your land. I'll restore you as before. Amen? So Israel was in Babylon, so they were not really serving their purpose anymore. They were not really the light they should be, except for a remnant that was with them in Babylon. Because Babylon compromised all their values as God's people. Amen? So when the time came for them to come out, Babylon will not let them go just like that because they are captives. So God had to cause a birth pain, a chastening upon Babylon. So the maids, the patients, and all these different things happen. You can read them in Jeremiah 50 and 51. Things happen to Babylon to force Babylon, to humble Babylon. And then Cyrus, who was the one God used to chest in Babylon, now asks Israel to come out of Babylon. Israel came out and now was planted back in their land. Amen? Amen. And rebuilt the temple and became the light God wants them to be again and started serving their purpose. Amen. 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 How many of you understand the principle so far? Okay, five of you. Okay, everyone. All right, good. So, with that understanding, before we go further, I want to share something with you. America has a destiny. America was raised to fulfill a purpose. Amen? America, of course, the early pilgrims that came here from Mayflower and others that came, the French Huguenots in Florida, they came because they were being persecuted to serve God freely. And but God allowed them. They came. And the first time they planted the cross here, they established the plan of God here. God started a work. Amen? So God made a covenant with this land, not only to be a eventually to be a protection for Israel, or to serve as a protection for the nations of the earth, but to serve as a place where God will reflect his glory. And at the very early part of America's destiny, it was only America, apart from Israel, in the whole world, that engrafted a lot of the biblical principles in their constitution and in their principles. So America, apart from Israel, eventually built a culture that was embedded in the Bible, even in schools, and prayer, even in schools. It was all the courthouses had the Ten Commandments behind the judge. The nation was explanted as a godly nation. But also in America, eventually, some other people came that it was planted as tares. Amen? You can read that in Matthew 13, the parable of the wheat and the tares. Amen? So just like Israel was in Egypt, growing together until it was time. Amen? The same thing, the plan of God is here in America, growing together with also the plan of Satan. Amen? Amen? Amen. But God has a very big end time plan for America. God has destined that America, out of this nation, the glory of God will spread. Out of this nation, missionaries will fill the earth. After Britain lost their call, the European. So this nation has served the world as a breadbasket of the gospel. This nation has served as hosted great awakenings that caused revival to go out of here. And then this nation hosted what they call the Azusa Street Revival. And in this city in 1908, out of this nation where you see the Church of God and Children of God, came a big revival that has filled the world today. And Assemblies of God and Church of God and Foursquare, all these were ushered out of this nation. And they are all over the world. So America has God's heart. But also the enemy, like, you know, you all remember Samson. The enemy knows that if Samson will continue to be a deliverer, then the enemy will never surface. So what did they do to Samson? They planted a woman by Samson, and the woman knew exactly what to do to cause Samson to compromise so that they can bring Samson down. Amen? So there is an evil satanic agenda that has been planted here to compromise the value of Christianity, to compromise, to water the consecration of what it means for the gospel to be the power of God. So the gospel has been so neutralized, compromised, and except for a remnant of people, the consecration that releases the real power of conviction of the gospel is almost diluted. But God, like he raised Samson on the last day, still has a great plan for America. Amen? Yeah. We are online, so there are some things I don't have to say. But you live here, you know that this nation has been an exporter of every imaginable immorality. Amen? But also, because the enemy is afraid of the destiny God has for this nation, especially in this time. So based on this this foundation I've laid for you, I want to share some things with you. Thank you, Bomati. Thank you, Josiah. God bless you. Let's clap for them. Thank you. So, we use the bot, the woman. Another example I want to use really quick to you is the well. You all know in those days people drink out of well. In the Bible, Abraham dug a well, Isaac dug a well, Jacob dug a well. They produce well. But there comes a time when the wells are blocked. Amen? Amen. And then Isaac, they redug that well. Amen? The same thing when God opens heaven upon a nation. When God starts moving in a nation and God starts causing souls and revivals and things start happening, that compromise the enemy brings, that pollution the enemy means and causes us to lose that fear of God, the power of God, the conviction, and then we begin to water the gospel, that closes the well and open heaven over a nation. But there comes a time again where that well is redug, amen? And it's done out of prayer and God opens heaven again. Amen. But using the principle of labor pains and transition, I want to now speak to you directly and practically. When I came here in 1991, like I told you last time, I had no intentions for anything but to still follow my profession. I encountered the Lord the day, the very day, December 17th, 1991. That was the first time in my life I saw a vision. And the Lord showed me America, showed me some things. That's when I accepted. I said, God, I will serve you. I will do whatever you've already laid out. I didn't know what prayer was. I didn't know. I've just been. So the Lord called us to prayer. We started praying. Fast forward really quickly. God used that to prepare a lot of things. And then in 1994, 95, 96, God started revealing a lot. And then in 2000 and something, we put it in a book called The Watchman Book, a little synopsis about where America is and what God is doing in the nation. So over the years, just like God gave Abraham a vision, he never saw it come to pass. Actually, he was getting frustrated in waiting that he produced Ishmael. Mm-hmm. Amen? Amen? And then he kept waiting. Finally, God visited him in a tent and told him he's going to bring about that, the birth of Isaac. But before Isaac will be born, he has to bring judgment to Sodom and Gomorrah. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So there are some things that has to happen, birth pains, before a child is born. So the Lord used a lot of these illustrations to help us in Zion. If you've been here for a long time, you have heard this before. But what happened? God showed that America will see a revival, and that revival will come, an awakening will come before that revival. So everybody's been waiting, we've been praying, we've been crying for this generation, for the sin, for revival, for our families, no miracles, we're all dealing with things. In 2013, something happened. I was very frustrated of waiting after so many years, and I went, I was fasting, and on the third day of the fast, I had a dream. It was not a dream, it was a vision. And it was a vision in a dream, meaning God was showing me something. And I won't go into the details of it. I will just share with you how that is related to what I'm about to share with you. So in that vision, in that dream, the Lord showed me some things, and I wrote it down in my diary. And it's still there today. So that year, I felt, oh, maybe this is the year God will do it, and nothing happened. So we kept waiting, and you go through this frustration of waiting. Something started happening from the year 2020. And you all are aware of it. It was a major pestilence. The Bible calls it pestilence. But we call it COVID. In 2020, COVID shook the whole world. That was my wake-up call. And the reason for that is because this is something that God has revealed about the future, but you don't know when or how. So the COVID came because it was an indirect assault on America and the rest of the world. Up till now, nobody can say who did it. But every one of us, COVID has marked the history of the world. We'll always remember that. And it's still going on today. After that, it was that, the COVID, that forced me again to go back and started crying to God. God, you must give us understanding of times. You've established times and seasons for everything. And we kept praying. And then that's 2020. Then the Russian war started in Ukraine. That was what? 2022. Amen?
Amen.
2022. So that didn't put any pressure. We're just watching it. After the Russian war continued for about a year, that was 2023, God started doing something in this house that I kept to my heart. But there were signs. We moved to this building. God gave us this property from the second floor down free, paid for it, and then started doing some other things outside and started confirming some things. Then finally went into prayer, asking the Lord, what does COVID mean? What does the Ukraine war mean? It was unfolding some things, but it wasn't enough to be public. So we kept praying. It was in 2023. That was last year. I was standing here on Pentecost Sunday and the Lord spoke something. And I told this house, but I didn't tell them what it was. And the Lord was saying, prepare for this new season because we are heading towards all these years. I've been warning America. I've been warning people. I've been doing, but COVID, they didn't wake up. This war, they think is directly indirect to America. I was just slipping through it. So God started preparing us. So now, the Lord now called us to a fast. Prayer and fasting. 21 days of prayer and fasting. Many of you here participated in that. And we shared what it was. The Lord said something is going to start. This was what he was showing me. Something is going to start again in the world that will have the impact. It will have the kind of global attention like COVID, like Ukraine war is having. But I didn't know what it was. And I was very clear I didn't know what it was. And then we all went into 21 days of prayer in this house. And we called a national prayer online. And we're praying. It was towards the end of the prayer, God started saying, what we're praying in the spirit is going to now come out in the physical realm. And we're going to see it. And all of a sudden, on the last day of that prayer, the Feast of Tabernacles, the Israel world broke out. And that was last year, October 7th. And it has continued unlike any other war Israel has been. And it has received the most global national attention. It has reshaped the balance of relationships among nations. Amen? So all this has been happening and it's still happening till now. That what happened then was, for me personally, a confirmation. Because, see, these things I'm telling you, there are some things you don't have the boldness to share because you made mistakes in the past. So you are saying, God, it's like Gideon. I have to see this, I have to see this, I have to see that. So I was watching and watching and watching. When that Israel war broke out and Keziah came and told me on that last day, this is happening, I knew something has been activated. And then I told the people online, I said, this war is not going to stop like every other war till this spring. And the Lord showed me, and I spoke it to everyone online. The Lord said that this war will continue to the spring. That was last year. But by this coming spring, the seasons we've had with COVID, the seasons we've had with the Ukraine war, and now this season with this Israel war, this season will come to almost, it's like a woman giving birth, feeling labors, contractions. But it's going to now come almost like an end. But a new season is going to start this spring. And this new season will be activated in America. See, the COVID came to America indirectly. The Russian war is an indirect war America is fighting. Israel war, America is indirectly involved. But this new season will be activated here in the nation. And this new season is not going to be activated by any human like all these other ones that were vices of demonic plan. This is something God will allow to start an awakening in the nation. Amen? Amen. Amen. So that's what, this is a prophetic house. And that's why God has called us to prayer. So now, when the Lord was speaking, all this was last year, speaking that about this coming year. So we're waiting, we're praying. Now we've come to this season, spring. So we went on a retreat. I shared a lot of things with intercessors, and we called for, can you put that sign that's called for prayer on the screen? This scripture I read to you, we started here. Isaiah 66. This is a national call we're doing right now, but it's a call to this house for prayer. To start prayer from, this was, we released this last year. We just activated it this year. The prayer will start April 9th and finish on April 22nd. That's on the Hebrew calendar, that's the first month. On the Hebrew calendar, that's the time, Hebrew calendar, that's the time Israel came out of Egypt. That's the time Jesus was on that cross, on the Hebrew calendar, not this calendar we just use for Easter. So that's Isaiah using this picture of a woman going through birth pains as a metaphor, but it's referring to where America is and the church. God is about to bring a birth pain in the nation. I've explained what birth pain is to you, to release the destiny of the church for us once again, not only to see the glory and the power and the work of the Holy Spirit once again manifest in this nation. Amen? Now, that's what we're sharing from last year to this year. But something happened. Something happened that made this cause me to fear. And I fear God, not in the wrong way. It is that fear that is making me share what I'm sharing with you. The fear of God. I will be the most miserable person if I don't share what I'm about to tell you. I can't stand here and say I'm representing you and serving here as part of the body and not share this with you. So, what happened? While we're waiting for this time of prayer from 9th, I will start on Tuesday. We came back from the retreat and suddenly somebody sent me an email. And in the email, I saw it. Normally, I won't pay attention to it. It was that an eclipse was coming. An eclipse would be coming. And it showed me, I saw it in send this NASA thing. So I looked at it. I just left it. I didn't want, because I know people, that tends to draw a lot of attention to all kinds of extremes of prophecy and all worldly. So I didn't want to be distracted. I left it. But as I was praying, the more I was praying, the Lord took me back. He says, you've known these things. Now, this is not a sign for you. It's not a sign. It's a sign for the world. But it's a sign for unbelievers. Because when Jesus was born, he used a sign for unbelievers. When Jesus was on the cross, he used a sign for unbelievers. And Israel that we're not believing. An open sign. That's what signs are. So I went into prayer and started doing a little bit of my personal biblical research and everything. In that process was when God took me back to my diary. And I went back to my diary of 2013. And it reminded me five things in that vision I wrote down. And when I went through them, as I'm talking to you from that time, a few weeks ago to now, I tremble. So what was it? He's already said, prepare for spring. Prepare for something is going to shift in America that will affect the world. Prepare. All that was clear. We're praying. But this particular sign was what caused the fear, this eclipse. Right now, as I'm talking to you, from today to the rest of tomorrow, that's what the whole news media will focus on. So it's not something that is hidden. The whole news media is talking about from tomorrow. That's what they will focus. All the major news. So this is not a hidden thing. It's all over the website. You know, because of how these things can easily deceive and mislead people, I can understand Christians being cautious. And that's why I was very cautious. But it's so strange that the people God made custodians of the Bible were sitting, and wise men came from the east to tell them, this sign means something. And they said, oh, what? He said, we're here to see the king that was born. And he said, Herod inquired, he said, oh, yeah. They went and brought out their Bible, said, yeah, oh, a king will be born in Bethlehem. And Herod said, okay, when you find him, come and tell me. And they stepped outside, and the sign showed up again in the sky. Unbelievers were able to discern the times, even when they cannot understand all of it. And the people God gave stewardship could not discern the times. So I went back to my diary, and I looked, five things in there. And for the first time, some of you bear witness here that after some things, I asked God, you know what, when things happen, let's just say this is that, but let's not talk about things that are to come. It's easier that way. So I was ready to say, when things happen, this is that. And that's where we've been. But now, when I opened my diary, I noticed that four major things out of five are happening. And some have already happened. In just this season, this spring season. 2013. This year, just this spring season, four of those things literally happened. So, the fourth thing is a solar eclipse. You say, did I see solar eclipse in 2013? No, I did not see solar eclipse. This is what I saw. The fourth thing was this tent we just had. The pastor and the wife that hosted the city tent, the pastor, Pastor Lara, was with him in the tent. Now I knew, you know, when God gives you something, when the time comes, the interpretation is clear. You just see it. I was with him in this tent, and we're there, and he was telling me about something that was about to happen. This was 2013. And when he was sharing about it, we're sitting. That thing he was sharing about already happened. I had it. It was in the news. I recorded it. I saved it. It's in my archives today. He's saying this thing will happen. It happened. The new breaking news, I recorded it. So as he was telling me that, somebody came and says, come outside, come and see, something is about to happen. So we ran from this part of the tent to the other side of the tent, meaning the end of the part of the tent. So we went there. He was no more there, I was there. And all of a sudden, I saw a mark going from one part of America and just going like that on the ground. It was just going. The mark was just going. I was just going. I kept going. And I was following the mark. And I knew what the mark was. And I was following the mark because I was afraid. I was following the mark and following the mark. As the mark was going to the end, I ran back and came to the place of prayer. I just ran and I knelt down and started praying and crying to God. Have mercy, have mercy, have mercy. I didn't see what was causing the mark. I didn't see, but it was something invisible I couldn't see, so I just focused on the mark. So, I want you to see how God interprets visions. God told Pharaoh in a dream, seven lean cows swallowed 8 7 fat cows and they stayed the same. It doesn't make sense, is it? But when you receive the interpretation that there will be a year of plenty, and then that year of plenty will pass and there will be a famine that will make it look like that plenty never existed, everything makes sense. Just like dreams kings are. So this season, God completely interpreted that vision. And it all made sense. First was the tent. And the next thing after the tent was the mark in the vision. I didn't understand it there. What was the mark? If you go to your website and look at NASA's interpretation of the solar eclipse, you will see a big mark it went through America, through 10 states. You see, if you just look at the American map, you see how the thing goes through like that. When I saw that mark, and then when I was looking at the mark, there was another description of NASA showing the part of the eclipse which is straight. It shows how the moon blocks the sun and how the shadow was going past this, the part. That was what I saw. But it didn't make sense. Something was happening in the sky that was creating that mark. And so now I knew that after whatever the tent was in 2013, there will be something that will mark part culture America. And now it was a solar eclipse. Without knowing it, we prepare this time of prayer for the night. And the solar eclipse is tomorrow, the 8th. And it's on the beginning of the first month of the Hebrew calendar. So why am I sharing this with you? The reason God reveals things is for us to pray. Amen? If I find a man that will stand in the gap, I can stop anything. God can stop anything. God reveals things for us to pray so that it doesn't happen. Or if anything even happens, it will minimize any effect. Now, what I saw that part, now I want to be very transparent with you. When I was looking at this mark, you can see when you go check this NASA thing, that mark, it was like something was cutting through the nation. So I was like, what is this? And the Lord showed me, it will be, something is going to happen after that that will shake the nation. So, I don't believe, I didn't see anything happening at the beginning. So nothing might happen tomorrow. I don't necessarily see anything happening tomorrow, which is, all people can speculate. Basically, 30 million people are going to they want to go have fun all over across the nation. They've declared emergency all over the pathways. People are just going to be all over the place, coming from all over to have fun, to once in a lifetime thing. But others are seeing all kinds of things surrounding it. I didn't see anything happen right there at the immediate time. But this is what I saw. After that mark, something happened in America. I don't know when, but something happened in that season, in this season. something that woke up the nation happened in this season. So why did I tremble? I made up my mind I will not say anything this year, even when we're talking about praying this prayer. But what made me say something is when the Lord says, I have literally put a sign in the sky, if not for anybody else, but for you to know, I'm serious this time about one in America. The iniquity of this nation has gone too far, too deep, and too wide. To the point, even children that are just about to, they're just coming out of the womb, their minds are already being set to be taken over. Confused and destroyed. There is no preacher, no human being that can stop the legal process to defy the conscience of this nation. If you try anything, you'll be in jail. So now God himself, whenever nations get to the point where you no more listen to man, prophets, or anything, God himself comes down. He did it in Sodom and Gomorrah. He did it all through. He will come down himself and deal with the situation. So, and he speaks through, Jesus says he speaks through these various things, famines, this. Amen? So, I'm here to submit to you that this eclipse would not necessarily have meant anything but fun. But this year, because of what the Lord has revealed, is a sign. It's a serious sign. It might not mean anything tomorrow, but I'm telling you, something is about to happen very soon after this eclipse. That's why we're praying for 14 days beginning Tuesday. Something is about to happen that will wake this nation up. Amen? That's the word I want to share with you. To prepare yourself. To prepare your heart. Why? When COVID took place, a lot of young people were confused. Schools, some of them went into depression. Parents, a lot of people were, because we're not prepared for it. We're not warned, we're not told. The Russia war is an indirect thing. If anybody told Ukraine today, you would be in this situation. Millions of people have lost the capacity to live a life anymore. What is Ukraine? But it's emptying America's economy. Indirectly. If anybody told Israel from October 7th, their whole life system will shift. We just came out from there, just before this. They will not believe that nation will be where they are today. There's no life. So if you don't prepare for something, then you're prepared for that thing to take you unawares. But if you prepare for it, you become a life jacket. You become a blessing. That thing actually becomes a ladder for destiny, for success, and for your growth. So that's why God reveals these things. We can pray. We can position ourselves. And our heart can be grounded and established in him, in his word. So we will not fear like others. What I share with you now is not a cause for fear. That's why we use the butt pain. Is a woman afraid going to the labor room? Amen? She's excited. The only problem is she has to go through pain. Amen? Because she wants to see a child. The revival, that's the part again. After this shaking, we are about to see a move of God. Amen? God is about to manifest his glory and power again. But first he has to humble a nation. Somebody prayed it that has lost its cause. The nation is so confused. Judges don't know how to judge. Politicians have lost their directions. Everybody is fighting. Nation divided. The only person that can save this nation now is God. And he wants to save it for his glory. And he saved it in his own way. Amen? So my brothers and sisters, I have obeyed the Lord to prepare you. Something after this eclipse. When you see the eclipse can pass, let that be a confirmation for you. Because something might not happen tomorrow. But after that, as we pray for these 14 days, going forward into this season, get ready for a major awakening. And get ready for a move of God. Your families will come to God. Amen. Your children will come to God. Amen. The prodigals will come to God. Amen. All the people that their hearts have been hardened will begin to come to God. Amen. We're going to see massive ingathering of souls. 9/11 will look like nothing. Amen? Amen. They woke up, they went back to sleep. Amen. This time they wake up, they stay awake. Amen. Amen?
Yes.
What I share with you now is not bad news. If you have a child that is going to hell and doesn't know it, what will you do to save that child? Is it better for that child to be in hell for eternity than for the child to lose a few cars and a few toys to wake up? So from Tuesday, we're going to be praying here from, there will be people that will be praying from 6 a.m. There will be people, we'll be here from 2 p.m. 12 noon. And then 7 p.m. we call everybody to come here, as many as can. So for 14 days, that's how much we feel the burden to stand in the gap. Because God has given us a responsibility to see ahead of time. So we're going to be praying every night 7 p.m. crying out for mercy. God have mercy for America. God deliver. God forgive us. God, whatever we've done, please don't let this happen. God have mercy. God have mercy. God have mercy. That's the next 14 days, what we'll be doing. And I pray, since you've received this call, you will share the burden of prayer. If you're not here, and by the way, we're not going to stream the prayer. Amen? Amen. Nobody takes their labor room to put it on the internet. If you are giving birth to a child, you don't put it on the internet. Amen? We pray like people that are desperate. And we don't want people watching us pray. So we are going to really cry out, and there will be no streaming. But those of you online that have heard this word, please pray for America. If you love America, you love this nation, this is your time to prove it. You will see it. You will see it. Amen.
Amen.
In your time. In your time, you make all things beautiful. In your time, Lord, please show us every day as you're teaching us your way that you do just what you. In your time. Now, I want us to stand, and we're going to sing this song together. It's called I Surrender All. This song today, as a church, as a body of Christ, when you sing this song, you surrender your life to God, but mostly today we're going to surrender America to God. Amen?
Amen.
We surrender all America to God. All. Everything to God. Amen?
Amen?
Start with yourself. Jesus on that cross says, Father, it's not my will, but your will be done.
Amen.
He surrendered to the will of God. So Daisy can play for us. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender your life, everything to God. I surrender all. Oh, yes, Lord. I surrender all, Jesus, all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender. We surrender. We're going to take communion. Just keep playing softly on the keyboard. This communion we're taking is like the Passover communion. Jesus took this communion before he went to the cross. And it was a time he was surrendering his life. And he knew he was going to go to the cross and he was going to die. And he prayed, not my will but your will be done. This is the testament. This is the blood. As you take communion today, it says, do this in remembrance of me. If you've not had it, just lift your hand. They will bring it to you if you don't have the communion. As you take this, make it personal. Based on what I share with you, the Bible says the blood, the mark of the blood was upon the children of Israel, and they were fine. Even the Bible talks about in Ezekiel chapter 9, God put a mark on his people. So this covenant puts a mark on your destiny. There is nothing that will happen anywhere, regardless of anything. This is the blood of destiny. Psalms 91 says, because you're in covenant with this, you are in that secret place. You are marked by God. You're protected by God. You're promoted by God. You're provided, especially in times like this. So you have a covering. You have a mark. So as you take it today, you surrender. You take it surrendering to the Lord. God, I surrender my life to you. I come under your covering, your mark, your blood. This is my moment of victory. This is my moment to rise. This is the moment you bring down the mountains and magnify the valleys. Father, I take this covenant as your covenant child. Wherever I go, I am under the blood. My family is under the blood. My city, my community. So as you sing that song, Kizai, you can come. We're going to surrender to the Lord. Not my will. Father, not our plans, not our agenda. Man has ruled this world enough. Man has boasted enough. You have been thrown out of the government. You've been thrown out of every system. You've been thrown out, even out of the church. But now you will reclaim that which belongs to you. You will reveal yourself that you are God. You're the creator, the maker. You will awaken your church that the wise will recognize this season. I pray, Father, that we'll be among the wise virgins. That we will not be foolish in this hour. Thank you, Father, for the grace for us to hear a warning before time. Give us the grace to receive it. We surrender like you did on that cross. We surrender to your will. We surrender to your ways. And we surrender to your wisdom. I surrender all. Surrender, oh Jesus, all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender.
Father, we thank you that you do speak to your people. I'm reminded of the words of that song we sang. Rock of ages cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Father, we have nowhere to go but to you. We ask that that blood that was shed for us, will cover our families, will cover the land of America, will cover your people. When that lamb was sacrificed in Exodus, it says it's a lamb for a household. So it's for us and our families. And we sang, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked, come to thee for dress. Helpless, look to thee for grace. Foul, I to thy fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die. Today we remind you that we are people that have a covenant with you. As you covered Israel in Goshen in the time of the plague, you will cover your people. You will even show mercy to America. Lord, we are intercessors and we stand in the gap to have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy. Lord, you can withhold your wrath because of mercy. So Lord, we plead the blood of Jesus. As we eat of your body, we become one again. We remind you that we are one with you and we remember what you did. Cover us, shield us, bless us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father, we thank you. You keep covenants from generation to generation. Because you love us, as you said to Abraham, will I hold back from you that which I do? I have obeyed your word. Have mercy on us. Open our eyes to see. Open our ears to hear. Father, let him that hath ears, let him hear what you have spoken. Show us individually, family-wise, what to do to prepare. But call us together as we wait these 14 days to cry out before you. You're merciful. You're gracious. You're a redeemer. We thank you. Receive all the glory and all the praise.